With this concert, Don's Deeds, we're focusing on Don Quixote, a tone poem slash kind of cello concerto, kind of concerto grosso, or whatever you want to call it, by Richard Strauss, all about Cervantes' great character, this crazy knight who goes off and has all these, I guess we'd call them misadventures, because they all seem to backfire.
That's right.
But it's great music, and I guess, actually, we could talk about how he sets the story to music, but we'll also be talking about how we are going to be performing the music and who's performing it and all of that. But in terms of that, Billy the Kid and Spartacus are ballets. This is just what they call a tone poem. How does that work in a concert hall?
Well, a tone poem is a piece that's based on a piece of poetry or prose, in this case, obviously prose, the Cervantes novel. He does not call this a piece for cello and orchestra. Mm-hmm. He calls it a tone poem for large orchestra. And the cello is very specifically cited as the first player of the first stand of the cello section. And so I think that he was assuming that it would be performed by the principal cellist of the orchestra. Mm-hmm. But there's also an enormous solo for the viola, who plays the part of Sancho Panza, the servant of Don Quixote, and also for the concertmaster, who has extensive solos and duets with the other principal characters. You could say maybe it's Dulcinea. I'm not sure if that's the case, but I think certainly it's...
Sometimes it seems to be, and other times it seems to be a narrator.
Yeah, kind of a narrator or a muse or however you want to describe it. But Strauss wrote for large orchestra for the most part, and his tone poems are probably his best-known and best-loved orchestral works. Obviously, he wrote operas, too, that are spectacular. But Don Quixote, I think, stands alone in many ways. It's a very unique piece, and... At times it's extremely lyrical, and at times it's extremely convoluted and hard to follow. Mm-hmm. He tells the story through leitmotifs, setting up musical passages that describe each character or situations. And then at times he kind of just throws them all at you at once. Mm-hmm. In the opening section, he establishes a few themes and then keeps adding. And soon everyone is playing you with five or six different themes happening at different times, before a big crisis moment, and then suddenly everything stops, and then he establishes a theme. And when I say a theme, now it's not for any particular character, but it's a theme that he's going to create variations on. Mm-hmm. And so in a sense, Don Quixote is a set of theme and variations for orchestra that tells this story.
Actually, I think he calls it variations on a nightly theme. Mm-hmm. And I often think that it's not so much Don Quixote that is the theme, but rather what is driving Don Quixote, and the whole thing is this idea of chivalry.
Exactly. And I do think that it's much more about the character of the characters than about their deeds. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have the tilting at the windmills. It's the moment that everyone, in Music 101, you hear the part about the tilting of the windmills and the sheep's bleeding in the field, and it is very cool, but it happens very quickly, mm-hmm. much like in the book, as it turns out, where the windmills don't take up very much space. But I do think that those effects that he creates are incidental to the greater work. Mm-hmm. It's a work of incredible sweep and incredible variety, which is a little bit different from many of his other pieces, where you have kind of one general feeling. Even a piece like Ein Heldenleben, although it's episodic, feels much more of one piece. This is very much a small work followed by a small work that followed by a small work, all that have to do with each other. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's a work of incredible genius and a very satisfying one in the end to listen to.
I think a lot of the context of it is the same way that Cervantes puts the novel together, is that it's a collection of scenes put together by, Quixote
kind
and Sancho Panza are sitting around discussing the qualities that make a good knight, and a squire, how the squire is supposed to behave, and so on and so forth.
Yep.
And then he sees, two priests on donkeys and figure that they're magicians who have come to, put a hex on Spain or something, and he's off to rout them.
Yep. He's a nutcase.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think that when you hear this music, that comes through too, is the insanity of this character. Mm-hmm. And I think Strauss is very deliberate in portraying that. It's not just a heroic person, but also a delusional person.
Right.
And you do have this music that almost takes you into a dream feeling.
especially like with the ride through the air, you know, I mean, you've got a wind machine in the background. If you needed anything more to give you the impression that they're flying on this horse through the skies, but all the time, you know, never getting off the ground, which you hear because the bases are constantly the groundwork. But then you get into all of this stuff at the end, you know, where he's defeated by, I forget what, the Knight of the Moon or whatever he is, you know, that actually is his neighbor.
Yep.
But Quixote has this fantasy about him being his arch enemy, which I guess is the way some people do actually regard their neighbors. I don't know. But, you know, suburban fights and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Stuff of TV. But then in the end, it's like he has to go home and lick his wounds and everything. And then he dies in his bed, a sort of contented old man after having been through all of these wonderful adventures. And the ending of this is just absolutely heartrending.
Yeah, I mean, the last 4 or 5 minutes of this piece are noble, beautiful, charming. After such a complicated piece, he ends it almost simply, mm-hmm. and presents a very beautiful final theme of resignation. And then you hear the noble themes coming again and memories of the past, mm-hmm. and then he basically just dies in a very understated way. Mm-hmm. And it is lovely. It is also an incredibly hard piece for the cello. And for the viola and violin, but particularly for the cello. And, you know, I, as I've said many times, I'm glad we have an orchestra that's capable of playing a piece like this.
And, I mean, you chose this because Fiona Thompson is your principal cellist, and she was going to be our Don Quixote for this. How is this set up now? I mean, is this going to be like a concerto setup that she's out front? Or is she
A lot about that, and I think she and I see very much eye to eye that it's a mistake to have the cello out front, mm-hmm. For several reasons. One is that there's a lot of waiting around,
and
long
also,
stretches.
And also playing with the entire cello section.
And that's the bigger issue, is that the principal cello not only is the soloist, but is the principal cellist. Mm-hmm. She will be leading the section when she's not playing the solos, and there's a lot of that. And so what we'll probably end up doing, first I'll have the cellos back on the right side of the podium, because I think acoustically she'll need to be further towards the audience. Mm-hmm. And she'll be in her usual place, probably angled a little bit more out and on a podium, mm-hmm. but very much where the principal cellist would normally be.
And the violist is?
Violist will be in with the violas, and the same with the concertmaster.
It's a big orchestra. I mean, what kind of additional instruments?
Just a few. I mean, there's certainly the instruments like the wind machine you don't get to see all the time, and they are kind of fun to see and hear. It's your typical large orchestra, meaning extra woodwinds, but typical extra woodwinds. Mm-hmm. There's an E-flat clarinet for 2 measures, which is kind of an odd choice. I guess they didn't have to pay per service in those days.
Yeah.
There's a tenor tuba, which you hear quite a lot, often in duet with the bass clarinet, and this is one of the Sancho Panza themes. Mm-hmm. Kind of this goofy... And it is goofy, and I think it's intended to be goofy, and if you try to make it serious, it doesn't work. But that tenor tuba is a very interesting sound for an orchestra. You don't hear it much outside of Strauss and Wagner and sometimes for special effect, like in the Pictures of an Exhibition. And then, you know, other than that, it's pretty much your standard orchestra, just with larger forces.
Mm-hmm. So Don Quixote and the music of Richard Strauss with our principal cellist Fiona Thompson and Julius Wirth, principal violist, as Sancho Panza. And Odin Rathnam,
as whatever it is,
the violinist, whatever the walk-on part as needed.
But really, this is a concert that's a wonderful exploration in storytelling through mm-hmm. music. And I do think that it's music that will be appealing to everybody. Each of the 3 pieces, although very different from the others, is great in its own right, and I think it's going to be a wonderful concert.